From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Busy show today. Will Brinson, CBS Sports NFL writer, will join us. We'll talk prospects today. They're around the building the last couple of days. You've seen some videos on Jaguars.com. And Luke Bowenko, Jaguars center, scheduled to join us in about 15 minutes from right now. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. And let's go to the phone line now and welcome in our first guest, John. Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. What's up, Will?
What's going on, guys? Honored to join the show.
I know you're a big Duval fan, right?
I am. My mom's family is all from Duval. So I spent basically every Thanksgiving for the first 30 years of my life traveling down 95 all the way to Duval. So I love the city of Jacksonville. I think it's an underrated city in America.
And, Will, hello, by the way, John Osier, and it's good to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure, Osh.
We've talked in the past. I've known you 3 or 4 years now. And when we first started talking about the Jaguars, it was still in the phase where there were a lot of rumors about this franchise, and it was a different time for this franchise. I guess from a national perspective and from somebody who has followed it maybe a little more closely than most Jacksonville people, not the most national people, talk about the evolution and the perception of the town and the team.
Well, I think it's a totally different ballgame than it used to be. And, kudos to Wayne Weaver for bringing the franchise to Jacksonville and getting everything in place. And, it's not like, for both the Panthers and the Jaguars in the early goings, it's not like, it was lean times. I mean, there was a lot of success, but then, some struggles after that. I mean, to me, from a global viewpoint of what Shad Khan has done to build up the brand of the Jaguars and to really integrate the Jaguars within the community and the city is fascinating. I know Osh, you and I were talking at the combine about the plans down at the shipyard. And I think that's something that goes beyond just owning a football team. Is you're kind of owning a part of the community and I think the other thing too is, for all the, a lot of people used to like to make jokes about tarps and stuff, but then you see the things that are going on in that stadium are incredible. I mean, you have the pools and the cabanas and the video board and the innovation, taking it beyond just the game of football and making it technologically advanced type of thing is just really impressive from a national perspective.
We have trouble sometimes getting JP out of the pools. Other than that, it's been fantastic. It's been a real plus, except for that.
Yeah, I should be there right now. Actually, we'll talk to you about.
You guys should broadcast from the pool. That's a
great idea. Pre-game radio. Joe, write that down as an idea for next year. We'll get to this coming draft coming up, but. Guys do the Eye on Football podcast, and you just redrafted the 2011 draft on your podcast and on a written story on CBSSports.com. You had the Jaguars' original pick at 16, where they ended up trading up to get Blaine Gabbert, but you went back to 16. You had the Jaguars going with DeMarco Murray there. Can you explain yourself here a little bit?
Yeah, is that an accusatory explain yourself?
No, just in general.
I started, what actually happened is I think when I went through it, I had DeMarco Murray originally falling a little bit further than I meant to, and then I was kind of eyeing a spot up higher, and I thought that it made sense for the Jaguars. I realized they had MJD at the time, but this was still a franchise that was looking, if you see the moves that have been made, and, clearly there's some interest in finding a bell cow back. And if you look at Murray, despite his injuries, and this is a guy that went out and got a massive contract on the open market, there was interest in him, between various teams with cash laying around in free agency, and he's somebody that can tote the rock. And I think, I don't necessarily think that the running game, the depth of the running game, is overblown, but I do think that we, as everybody from at every level of of analysis kind of, you know, puts less value on the running back than we should. I know, I mean, Pete Prisco is probably the exception there. He really loves running backs, but I think running backs are still important. And if you can get, I mean, look, if you put DeMarco Murray, if you threw him back into that draft, he's a first-round pick. And to me, the Jaguars seemed like a logical landing spot, someone that could, you know, given that we didn't have any quarterbacks on the board when they were picking, somebody that could carry the offense for him right there.
Boy, what a story and what good writing that would have been had they drafted a first-round running back with Maurice still in his, in what Maurice believed in, and correctly so. He set franchise record the following year. Had they drafted DeMarco Murray, that'd have been quite a story that all season. So, well, I know you.
It would have been a better pick than Blaine Gabbert, though.
Point taken. Point taken. One for Will. You follow, I assume, very heavily the top of the draft, and from a national perspective, I'm sure you're looking at this, and it's a very tough draft to predict this year's draft. I mean. How does it compare, in your view, with the past two or three drafts in terms of unpredictability at the top? Because it seems like a real Wild West this year, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's maybe more unpredictable. You know, we knew 2013 was weird because there weren't going to be any quarterbacks that people, you know, we knew nobody liked quarterbacks. So that really...
Right, that was the Geno Smith year, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel and Mike Glennon. I mean, none of those guys were. E.J. Manuel was a stunner,
right?
In the first round. And so, when there's no quarterback that's locked into the early part of the first round, it makes it a little bit tougher to predict. But then you have this issue with Marcus Mariota, where, you know, the Jaguars and the Raiders don't seem like teams that are likely to take quarterbacks. The Titans are a total wild card in terms of whether they would take Marcus Mariota as their franchise quarterback, or, you know, whether they would do something, you know, really crazy, like trade, you know, chase after Phillip Rivers, or maybe chase after Jay Cutler and see if the Bears or the Chargers would be interested in moving up to get Mariota. Mariota isn't a traditional quarterback, so it's hard to know exactly who, you know, falls in line with a team that would be interested in signing him and or drafting him, and whether or not he would fit the mold with like a Ken Whitten on offense. And then you have Jacksonville at three, and I wrote about this previously, but I just think there's a real kind of control the draft, because I have a hard time believing Whitten is going to, and the Titans are going to get what they want to move off of number two. But I think so they ultimately have to face the decision, do we go with Mariota or do we go with Leonard Williams? And from there, it gives the Jaguars a lot of flexibility in terms of if they want to identify a particular pass rusher, maybe a Vic Beasley or a Dante Fowler, or if the Titans go Mariota, do they end up going, you know, Leonard Williams? In terms of a choose-your-own-adventure level, I think there's a lot more variability here than there typically has been in previous drafts.
Well, let's go to social media and take a question off Twitter. Your favorite, I know, at Jags.
I'm a big Twitter guy.
You are at Jags 22098 asking, is Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley a better Leo fit? Leo, that position here on the Jaguars defense. You mentioned those two a second ago. Who would you take of those two?
It's JB. It's a really interesting, debate between those two guys. I don't think you can go wrong. You know, I think that Fowler probably has a lower or a higher floor, and Beasley has a higher ceiling. I mean, if you're looking for a guy that comps out as maybe the next Bruce Irvin type, I mean, if you're looking for a comparison for Vic Beasley, that's him. A ridiculously fast first step, incredible pass rushing skills, not quite stout. You wouldn't call him stout against the run. That's certainly not what you'd describe Vic Beasley as. But do you see some of the moves, the athletic moves he makes when he's rushing passers? I mean, I think I saw it in person, although No, actually, I think back. Last year, Clemson was at Clemson when NC State played Clemson. But he grabbed. He basically came in, sacked Jacoby Brissett and snagged the ball and then took off for the end zone. And it's one of those things where, I mean, there are not a whole lot of athletes who can pull that off in terms of being capable of producing a sack and recovering the fumble without it really ever hitting the ground and then taking off for the end zone. Fowler, what's interesting to me is how the Gators used him last year. It's surprising, given that staff, that they wouldn't maximize the defensive efficiency of him. But a lot of times they'd push him inside and kind of maybe get him out of position. I think he'll be more productive at the NFL level than he was at the college level. If I were picking, I'm an upside type guy, so I would probably go Beasley. But I wouldn't be stunned if the Jaguars went with Fowler. And I think Fowler said yesterday that he would be stunned if he made it past number three. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars ended up going with Fowler because he offers maybe a little more safety and a little more run support out of that position.
Do you see any way in the world, Will, that there's that it's the Bucks, Titans, and Jaguars picking 1, 2, 3 once this plays out? Meaning, are you thinking there will definitely be a trade, either number two or number three, just from what you see, what you read, you know, and your experience covering this?
Yeah, I think it could happen. I've maintained that I don't think Mariota gets past three, but I mean, I wouldn't stake my ill reputed reputation on whether or not it wasn't going to happen. I mean, Mariota could fall to four, he could fall to five. I mean, he could certainly hit the Jets at six. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question. I just think that go back and look at the past drafts. I mean, EJ Manuel, first round pick. Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, first round picks. Quarterbacks, if there is a quarterback who is considered a first round talent, they're going to go early because quarterbacks are hard to get, and finding a quarterback who can be your franchise quarterback is difficult to do. And I think that if you're looking at a team that is trying to scoot up the draft board, you're talking about someone who's willing to give up another first round pick. And if you're Jacksonville or Tennessee, you have to be willing to gamble that you can get somebody a little bit later in the draft and take that extra first round pick. And I ultimately think that Mariota goes top three. So I would guess that it is not Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and Jacksonville picking in that exact order.
Okay, pro day season's over, so you get a little vacation now before the draft, right? That's what's next for you guys, right?
I don't know. I feel like we've got I'm squeezing my vacation in after the draft.
Okay. Okay.
I know. I mean, yeah. I'm bolting. I'm doing our draft. We're doing a live draft show down in Fort Lauderdale. It'll be me and Pete Prisco and somebody else, and then we're gonna. And then I think I'm hopping on a plane out of there and going straight to some island of some sort.
Now Pete has Mariota in the fourth round, right?
That's right.
Just about.
Because he's not from a true. People are going to draft a running back than Mariota.
That's exactly right.
Right. We appreciate your time. Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, at Will Brinson on Twitter. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Will, thanks, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There he is, Will Brinson.